Welcome, everyone. Hopefully everyone had a good time at the attendee party last night. Big round of applause if you did. All right. Good to know that you're wide awake and we're ready to do a little bit of talking on continuous integration today. Just to get a couple of questions out of the audience before we get started, how many people have come to this talk expecting that I'm going to show you how to write unit tests? Sweet, I did a good job on my abstract. How many people are into DevOps? Love automation? Good, you're definitely in the right spot. How many people are trying to figure out something new with continuous integration? Cool, you're also in the right spot. So if you're looking for identity, and a gentleman with a really luscious black hair, he's in another room. Great speaker, but not trying to get you to leave my talk. Thank you for joining me, really appreciate it. So we're gonna be talking about a couple of things today. And it's more along the lines of getting your environment set up and automated through Windows Azure websites. How many people have played with websites so far? Awesome, cool. And those of you that haven't, we're pretty excited during the keynote. Excellent. So once we get through and kind of to look at some of the internals of websites, I'm going to do a brief introduction for those of you that haven't, but I do mean brief. It's just going to be go in, we're going to look at how to provision one, go and look at some settings that are going to help us out a little bit later on down the way, and then we're going to dive in to some architecture that's going to help us figure out what websites is all about under the covers. So continuous integration. Great leader in the CI space, Martin Fowler, no relation. He thinks that, well, his idea behind continuous integration is the fact that there's lots of people working on a team, and to ensure the quality and to ensure that we're not breaking pieces all the time, we need to continually integrate our software or check things into a common place and then run some tests against it to make sure that it's still working. Good process. So once we get everything pushed together, it's also a good idea to kind of go one step further, and this is what we call continuous delivery. And continuous delivery is the process of actually going and pushing that out to some sort of environment and allowing QA to go through and investigate a little bit further. So we're going to look at some of that, but just to kind of give you a quick rundown on Windows Azure websites. Basically, websites are fast, simple, high-density hosting. So the whole point of them, get you up and running as quickly as possible with the tools you use today. Make it as simple as possible so we could do lots of different deployment styles, and then make it available for you to actually go and push these out to multiple servers. Some of the feature sets behind it, we have language support, so classic ASP. Is anyone still working with classic ASP? A couple people. Wow. PHP, Node.js, there's that HTTP handler section at the bottom there. And that's for things like, if you are into PHP, bringing your own runtime, but you could also go and set up Python within there. So lots of different space for you to go in, and if you're developing different types of applications besides .NET, you have the ability to do so. Through deployment, we're going to look at a few things today, including TFS Online. But you can go out and deploy from CodePlex, Git from a local machine, GitHub, Bitbucket, Dropbox, and FTP. And then the number of features out there that are making this a very, very compelling offer for the enterprise. SSL, which was just released not too long ago, the ability to map custom domains, a great way to start out free and quickly get your site up and running. So I always like to go within the first five slides and give you a quick demo. So let's just switch over to my machine here. So we have the Windows Azure Management Portal everyone knows and loves by now. We'll just go in, and we're just going to click on New Website and Quick Create. Obviously, the very simplest thing, My First Site, and we'll get going. So this goes out and quickly provisions something for us. So we have a nice space just to start deploying our code out. A lot of people go out and do this through the through the portal. How many people know that there's command line tools? Not too many. Okay, good. So we're actually going to go through and look at some of the command line options later on in the talk, but we'll just kind of take a quick look through what we have available to us in here. So a couple things that we're going to need to note for later on. Under the quick glance section here, we have a download publish profile. This is going to be important for us to start building out some of the publishing settings that we need to be able to use different continuous integration systems. We can just go and set up some sort of deployment hook from some sort of source control system. We can also go under configure here, and this is going to give us a couple of options that come in handy when we're deploying out to multiple environments. So you can see here at the bottom, we actually have an app settings section. And this is very similar to the app settings within your web config file, so much so that if you have a similar value in app settings in your web config and you have the same key within websites, the website's value will actually take precedence when you deploy it out to this environment. And that's key for doing these kind of continuous integration environments. Same thing you can do with the connection string. So we can go here and say we have some sort of SQL database, MySQL, or a custom connection string that we want to provide into the portal. And it gives us a very simple way to do that. All right. So now that we have a good understanding of what websites is, let's take a look at it under the covers. So there's three main ways to go into websites. When we actually go and build something out from other command line tools or the portal, it's going through an API front end to spin up things in the background. And the background is basically a whole bunch of cloud services sitting out there, and we provision space within those to give you a brand new website. When you have one of those up and running, we go through IIS ARR, which is a, it's a plugin for routing, application request routing. So when you go through and you actually have a domain, it sees the first part of that DNS and starts routing it through to the particular website that's sitting in the back end. When you go out and deploy some of your code, we actually have deployment servers up there. And the reason we have deployment servers is we give you the ability to go FTP files to your site. FTP needs a static IP address for you to be able to go and deploy things. So we have those deployment servers sitting there. So if you go and FTP something in, we can pass that information off to the storage controller, which eventually gets down to the storage sitting on your box. The piece at the bottom here, the runtime DB, that's where all those app settings are actually stored. And that's something that will actually get pulled out and injected into your websites on the fly. So those app settings are actually exposed as environment variables within your environment. And any time that websites detect that there's new values within there, it's going to pull those in, and away you go. One of the things that I didn't show off, because a lot of people don't use it and we can't quite script it, is the ability to go in and map in resources. So you can actually go in, and if you wanted to hook up an existing database, like the one shown here, we could map those in, and those are the databases and storage accounts that get filled out into those connection string areas. So if we go and do an FTP deployment, like I said, we actually go through a deployment server. That gets pushed into a storage controller, which kind of rearranges all of the files that get sent into your site, so we can go and distribute that into all the different websites that you have. When you're going from source control, we can bypass those deployment servers because we have the ability to just map a DNS entry straight off to the storage controller. So when we go and we deploy something from TFS Online later, that's going to go straight into the storage controller and be available direct to your site. So our scenario here is the Nerd Dinner application. Everyone knows and loves this demo, right? I'm the only one. It's my favorite. So what we're going to do with this is we're just going to go out and deploy from TFS Online. So if we go in here, I've actually already set up my TFS environment. And I have a Nerd Dinner TFS site within here. So this is using TFBS, which is the TFS engine. So we have some code sitting within our code directory. And you can see here that it's basically the small little pieces of my site. So I have NuGet auto restore set up. So it's actually going to pull in all of my dependencies for me when it goes to deploy. So I don't need to store all that stuff into my source control system. I also have some test projects, and that's the reason I love this site so much, or this application so much, is Scott Hanselman and crew have gone out and made some pretty decent unit tests that will allow us to go through and actually run some tests when we go and deploy this. So we'll go back into our website. And we're just going to go in, and this time we're going to hit custom create. Now, custom create gives us the option to get into some of the finer details of our site. So I'm just going to create a brand new site here. So you can see here that I've started what's going to be called my production environment. And I'll get into that a little bit later as to why I'm doing this. But let's just go and hit publish from source control, and then we'll hit next. Now, this is going to give us that nice big list. It seems to be ever-expanding list as well of different places that we can pull code from. For this example, we're going to use TFS. And at this point, we actually just have to go and fill out our URL. So I have my alias here. And we go in and authenticate. And despite my best efforts, it still managed to log me in my different account. So let's just I had all these set up to use in private, so I didn't run into this issue. All right, we might have to restart that part. All right, so custom create, talk number, nerd dinner, prod. Nifty alias. There we go. A single sign-on is not my friend today. All right, now that we have authenticated, it's actually going to go in. It's going to ask us to select my account, and then it's going to hopefully head back to our website. Oh, come on. We can do this. There we go. Hooray, big round of applause for single sign-on. All right, so now you can see that it's actually gone, and it knows that I have a TFS project sitting out there. So let's just go in and start building that. Well, it goes and does that. I'm just going to jump into Visual Studio here. Make sure I have the right one. And we're just going to pop into the Team Explorer. 2013 looks pretty nice. We're starting to see some of the modern UI influence Visual Studio. And you can see here that I have my Nerd Dinner project. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to go out and hit merge, or branch, sorry. I'm just going to branch to a brand new file here, select a location on my hard drive, and this will become apparent in 1 minute. Dinner, TFS, QA. All right. So now we're just going to let that sit. And by the time we get back, we have a brand new website sitting within here. So we have a nice production environment. Let's just go in. We should be able to take a look at the deployments. Now, there's not going to be any deployments there yet, because we just signed in. We hooked it up for the first time. We actually have to go and commit some code back to it for it to actually go in. But let's just go into TFS here and see what it's done for us. So I'm just going to go into the build section here. And you can see that I have a nerd dinner prod build definition. And what this is going to allow me to do is just queue up a build directly from TFS Online. But it does have the continuous integration button checked off, so we could actually go in, and anytime we check in new code, it's going to get deployed out here. So I'm just going to go, and we'll build it for the first time, just so we get a nice, happy demo. We know that everything's going out and building. Nothing like queuing up three builds at once. While it goes out and does that, let's just jump back to some slides here, because we're going to come back and look at why I set up that separate branch. So as it's going out here and it's building, let's talk a little bit about the deployment pipeline. So you'll notice there's a URL at the bottom there. If you're very interested in being able to customize every single detail of your build process, get your camera out and take a picture of that right now. And I'll tell you about it in a little bit. So as we go out and we start setting up our CI environments, there's going to be some sort of notification that comes out and tells us about, hey, we have some new check-in from all our different environments. So the website's going to receive that notification. Then it's going to go out and it's going to update the source. So in a lot of different instances, what it's going to do is, if you're using Git, it will actually pull in a new version of the source code into a repositories folder. And it actually has a lot, or it actually tracks all of the history of all your deployments when you have that hooked up. Similarly, with TFS Online, you can go through with all those different deployments as well. So it's going to update that separate piece, that separate folder. Then we're actually going to run a deployment script on it. So this is where we go out. We actually build your application. We might run NuGet to do package restore. If you're using some other package engine, if you're using a different language, we'll do that there as well. And then we go out and we actually deploy the bits, and that could end in either a success or a failure, depending on what you have going on throughout that deployment script. So with that, let's go back, and hopefully we have a deployed site. It looks like it's still working away here, but that's all right. So what you can see is we're still building away, but that's the reason we went in, and we actually branched our site here. So what we can do with this branch site is, now that we have it, we're just going to go make sure we check in any changes that are sitting there. Just go through and make sure that we're not checking anything like packages in. That's a lot of files. Okay. And we're just going to hit check in. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to our Azure environment. And as this works away, we're just going to go and we're going to set up another website. Back into custom create. Create our nerd dinner we'll call this one, I said QA. There we go. So we're going to go back to Team Foundation Service. We're going to go back into the same TFS server, obviously. We're going to accept. So this is a separate website, and we're linking the exact same repository. So we'll go in there, we'll click OK. So now what we'll be able to do is we'll go back into Visual Studio. And if we actually look within our environment here, you can see we have an Azure Continuous Deployment build definition. So this is just the standard file that's going to tell us how we go through and how it is actually going out and deploying to Azure. We're not going to look at that because it's a pretty crazy diagram. But what we are interested in is going in and looking at the particular build diagram, or one of the build templates that we have sitting on our server here. So we have our definition. Edit the build definition. So if we go in, you can see we have continuous integration set. But we're also going to go in here and look at the build the process. So if we look at the solution to build, we can just go into our nerd-jitter branch in here. And this is going to go in and build out from our branch. So we just save this file. And now if we go and we check into that separate branch, when we actually go and check in, what it's going to do is send all of our stuff from our QA branch into our new QA environment, because that's the build definition that we selected there. So I should have that checked out here. Let's just go grab a file. All right, we'll just go check that in. And that's actually going to queue off another build for us. So this will take a couple of minutes. But just to kind of show you that process that it went through, what we can do is we can click into our deployment here. And what you'll be able to do is view, except for the OAuth problem. But you can actually click on View Log, and that will take you right back into TFS Online, and you'll be able to see this deployment log. And basically, this kind of takes you through the step of all the things that happened. So if we look at the summary, this is great, because now we get to see, you know, it went through, it compiled our project for us. It actually went through and ran all 71 unit tests, and you can see that we passed every single one. That's awesome. So where we start looking into this is we've now set up two separate environments. So we have our production environment, we have a QA environment, we've separated them out, so when we go and we check into our branch that's for QA, it's going to go into our proper QA environment. If we check into prod, it's going to go check into prod. The one thing that you're probably going to want to note, though, is you won't want to check into prod. What you're going to want to do is go and check in all the stuff into the QA process. Get your testers to go out and do some testing on it, obviously. And then you'll probably want to merge all of the changes that have gone into that QA branch into your prod branch. And this is going to do a couple of things for you. When you go and you track work items within TFS Online, what it does is it actually tracks the progress through. So if you go, you create a couple of work items. As you check in, it saves all those work items with the history. And as you go merge through, it's actually going to go and attribute that to the builds. So when you go through this full build summary or download the build summary from this log area, you'll actually be able to see all the bugs that were attached to that particular build. Jump back into some slides. So the multiple environment setup, it helps you with a couple of different things. Once you start going out and branch into all of those different pieces, you now have a great safe place for your developers to be able to check in. You can get another, like a senior developer or project lead to be able to look at the stuff that have come from the development branches, and they'll promote that up to staging, and then a full build engineer or something like that to do the merge from staging into production. But let's change gears for a little bit. So I told you that there's a couple of ways to go out and actually run scripts within Windows Azure or against Windows Azure to be able to provision some of these things. So how many people are big PowerShell fans? Good group. So if you go in and you download the Windows Azure PowerShell commandlets from WindowsAzure.com, you get a great list of things. And I love doing this because it's pretty impressive. There's a lot of stuff you can do within Azure. So this is great to see all the power, but we're really only focused on websites, so we'll just say get command. Thank you. I'm really bad at that. So we're just going to say get command, we'll say Azure website. There we go. So there's a couple of things that we can do here. So we can create new, obviously, good thing to do. Be able to go out and create environments. If you set Azure website, that's a way to go in and actually do configuration against a website. So changing the version of .NET, adding in those app settings that we saw the section in the portal for. You can also get Azure website, which is going to pull all that information down for you, which is pretty great. But what I'm going to do here is I'm going to open PowerShell ISE, and I'm going to show you one of the scripts that I've created with the Node CLI tools, because they're a little bit easier just to fire off some really quick commands. So this is the Node scripts. The reason I use these is they have really cool ASCII art, and I just can't get away from it. So I'll just go and I'll open up my build environment here. So what you can see is I just write out to the host just to give it, hey, we're doing the command. Just wanted to make sure I'm not showing off any passwords there. So what I do is I do an Azure site create, which is the exact same thing as new Azure website. It's going to go out, create a site for us. We need to give it a name. So this is going to go and create a production environment. I just noticed that I'm going to get a conflict because I just named the other one the exact same thing. We're going to go off and give it a location. And those are really the two pieces of information I need, name, location. But I'm actually going to go out and from the command line script out grabbing some information from GitHub, so actually some solution files from GitHub. And to do that, I actually have to pass in a username and password. Now, the joke's on you because I didn't actually put my password in here, but that's all right. So then I go and I create two configuration values. And this is two connection strings that I've decided to add in to the portal, and that just maps to a brand new Windows Azure SQL database for both my NerdGener application data and the application services, which is the security layer. And then I do something really interesting. I actually go out, and because this is my production environment, I automatically change the scale mode. So because it's a production environment, I probably want to run it in its own VM. So I've gone out and I said, hey, scale this into a reserved instance, which is what it was called in preview. It's now called standard, but the command line tools still reference reserved for now. And then I'm going to do a quick sleep. Well, it actually goes and processes that. And then I'm going to go and flip that up to 2 medium instances. Pretty exciting. So let's just run that. And you can see here as it's running away, it's going out, creates a brand new site. Like I said, we were going to get that error because I mapped the same drive letter. There we go. So it's actually going to go out, and it's going to hit the API REST point, create a brand new site for us. Then it's going to go and say, hey, you told me that you wanted some stuff from GitHub, so let's go and pull that down for you. So I actually have to enter my password here, make sure I'm not still on the screen. And that's going to go off to GitHub. Just to play it safe, because I know that this environment doesn't like getting command input too often. I'm just going to go and run it from here. All right, so the cool thing about this is I can actually go in and at the same time go and create all my separate environments. So that's probably going to error because that's going to have the same QA. But now I have my QA environment, my staging environment, and my production environment all creating at the same time. So that's our QA, which is failing because we've already created a QA. Here's asking for my GitHub credentials. That's sad. It's actually going to show it in plain text. Excuse me for 1 second. There we go. So that's going to go out and create all our environments for us. So with that, let's just go quickly back to our slides here. Well, that's working away because that will take a couple seconds because it's going to do everything in process. So what we've done is we've gone out and we've hit Azure Site Create, which also has the exact same PowerShell commands, including the ability to pull from GitHub. And like I said before, when we create those app settings, all of those commands are going through the API. The app settings are get routed into that runtime DP that automatically goes and whenever you see those changes, gets reflected out into your website. So the thing is it's going out and it's also using our nerd dinner scenario. And let's just take a quick look at what I've done to set up this GitHub account. So what I've done is good question. How many people are using GitHub? Wow, about half the room. That's pretty impressive. So what I've done is I've set up 3 separate organizations. The first organization I would consider the paid organization. So that's going to be the main organization for your company. And the reason that's paid is because you're probably going to want to have private repos. Now, you're creating this first because you're actually going to go out and create a brand new repository within that. And then you're going to have a separate environment, which is a QA organization. So you can go in, you can create a second org within GitHub, and that can be a free account because the production environment is actually going to be the one that is getting copied. So any forks of that main repository, they piggyback on the billing of the main account. So we're just going to fork into our QA environment, and then we can go out to our developers and say, hey, can you go out and create your own individual organizations or your own accounts? And that will allow you to be able to fork into our environments as well. Now, the cool thing about this is developer will go down, create his fork, download it to his own machine, and go and start building out code. Then what you do start doing is you'll see the arrows at the top in purple is the mapping of the forks. So you start with the main one and go backwards. The pull requests work in reverse. So the developer creates some code. It's going to send a pull request into the QA branch. And you have the ability to do two separate environments with that, or as many branches as you really want to. And then once QA has gone through, done their testing, they can go and send a pull request into the production account. And that's where your build engineer sits down and says, all right, let's pull this into staging. We'll do some testing on it. And then we'll see if we want to flip this environment over. So hopefully we have all of our environments spun up here. It doesn't look like they finished, though. Not a single one. I do want to show you this, though, because this is important. So in our staging environment here, I just want to show this off because this is an important step to be able to have those two separate branches. So you can see here we've done an Azure site create at the top. And this is going to pull from the exact same GitHub repo that we pulled the production environment from. But the main difference here is the second line. So we go in and we say Azure site repository branch, and we provide a branch that we want to pull from. So whenever this environment goes out, you check something into that staging branch. That's the branch that's going to look for when it gets the webhook request back. And I really wish that it would have run these environments for us here. Excuse me for a second, will it? Ask for my password. So it looks like it's actually going to go through for us on the staging side this time anyways. So it's actually going out to GitHub, pulling out from our repositories. There we go. Creates the webhook. That started. Then it's going to go and fire off those two commands, which we're setting up the configuration values for our database connection. And there we go. That's one of our sites up and done. Unfortunately, it seems like our production's frozen. Not too sure why. Well, in interest of time, let's move on, and we'll get back to that in 1 second. So it's going to send in a webhook. So you're probably asking yourself, well, isn't that really only continuous deployment? And that's true. So what we're doing is we go out, we create that hook and connection to GitHub. It's going to pull a webhook back, and it's going to ask the site's going to pull the new source code down. But we still want to actually go out and run our unit tests. So how would we go about doing that? And if you remember the deployment pipeline that I talked about earlier, we've gone through and we have our deployment script that's there. The one cool thing about it is it's customizable. And this is the reason that I do show off some of the command line tools as well, is the one command that we need in order to do this is only available right now anyways within the Node.js cross-platform tools. So if we go in here, we say Azure site deployment script. And I'm just going to call help on this so we can see all the different options here. So if you're creating a website project, and there's difference between project and ASP.NET website, if you create the project, it actually wants to know about the CS proj file, and it's actually going to read through and set up the MS build steps to be able to to go out and build your project. If you have a website, it's basically just doing a copy. So it doesn't require that project file because there isn't one. And then there are other options for Node. Node actually hooks up like NPM to pull down all of your modules. PHP, we're looking to expand those as well. So instead of like having to type out really super long paths, what I've done is I've actually gone out and set up the deployment script already. So there's two pieces to it, and I'm just going to open it up in Notepad++. All right, step number one, and it generates this for you. A dot deployment file, and that contains a config element, and you have to pass it some sort of command script. I know, extremely hard to program, but you'll be thankful when you see this next piece. So this next portion is actually going to spit out what the default build is when you go and you deploy a website. So if we look at this a little bit more detail, a lot of it's kind of stuff you don't really need to worry about too much unless you're going to use, say, MS build. So we actually have the build path there, so you can reference that. Because I do have a project file within here, you can see that it's going out to the CS proj. But the next two steps are really the interesting part. So you can see here that I have a path to vstest.console.exe. So the first build is going to go out and build my actual web application. Step number two, it goes out and builds my tests. Step three, which is that VS Test Console, is going to go out and run MS Test directly against my brand new Nerd Dinner Test DLL. And that's going to go and run all my unit tests. And then the fourth one is a feature called Kudu Sync, which does, how many people have looked into Kudu? Zero. Awesome. You have lots of cool reading to do. It's fun. So Kudu Sync is really interesting because what it does is it actually does a very smart replacement logic. So obviously your websites can be doing lots of things and you're deploying from source control, which could potentially wipe files out. So if your website's going and saving, say, images or XML files to save some data, it's actually going to be aware of those files that are user-generated and avoid replacing them or deleting them when it's pulling in this new source code. So the team's done some really awesome work being able to be smart about what stuff is actually supposed to be coming from source control and what stuff has been generated as you've gone out and started deploying your sites. So with those two pieces set up, what I'll do is I'll just create another site here. Custom deploy with tests. Should have went into custom. I even told myself I was doing a custom one. So we can just go in here, set up source control from a local Git repository. Away we go. It's not good. It's giving me the opportunity to go and do custom create. My custom MS test. Do you know what? I think I just outsmarted it. So what I think is happening here is my other credentials set in, because I do have deployment credentials set up. Let's just make sure I'm in the right account. There we go. MS test deploy. Hooray. So this is going to go and create our site for us. Let's just make sure that we're in the right directory here. Yay, we have a window. All right, so we're in E. There, dinner, raw. All right, so I just need to add a remote. Go back. We're just going to go into deployments here, and we'll grab our git publish URL. Just check the status, okay? And then we're just going to say git push Azure MS test master. All right, so that's actually going to go out. And just like the TFS one, once we actually start to see our code deploy here, which is nice that it automatically refreshes the page for us. Once it actually deploys everything out, we can select here, and we actually go in and look at our customized command process. So let's give that a couple of minutes, and we'll just quickly head back to slides to finish up here. So that sounds all great, but my code actually lives on premises. What can I do there? I can actually go through a demo with TFS Online. I know, I promised that it was on-prem, but being a cloud evangelist, it's really hard not to use our cloud tools. Not to mention, I'd have to lug around a server with me. But the concept still stands. So what we can do is, from TFS, we can build up a virtual machine with Team City on it, and we can use the process called MS Deploy. Does everyone know what Web Deploy is? Yep. So you can use Web Deploy to be able to push out your files within that are sitting behind your firewall. So we'll get into that one second. I'm just going to flip back to here because our code's gone and executed. So you can see here, here's my MS test. I'm just going to fold this part down, and you can see that there's a number of different steps that are going out. So you can see that it's got a notification that there's new code on the way. It's actually gone and started to pull in different references. And then off to the side here, you can see running deployment command. There's a view log section. So if we go into view log, scroll down to the bottom here, you can see that we actually ran all 71 tests and they went and passed. Pretty exciting? Not very exciting. All right. So we'll go in and we'll actually look at our Team City. So I'm using Team City because I'm relatively familiar with it, but there's tons of different build engines out there that you can use. But basically, everything still stands. So what I've done is I've gone out and I've set up a project, which is our Nerd Dinner project. And then I can just go in and edit the configuration here. So currently, I have two build steps set up. And the third one is what we're going to use to actually go out and deploy our application. So let's go in here. We have MS build. We'll say deploy Nerd Dinner. For a build path, we'll actually go in and select our solution. This is using .NET 4. And now we have a number of command line parameters that we need to fill out. Now the thing is MS-deploy uses this publish settings file. So what we need to do is go back into Visual Studio and we'll actually generate that. So what I need to do here is straight from our solution explorer, we're just going to right-click on Nerd Dinner and hit publish. And this pulls in our web deploy dialog tool. So we'll just go in and we'll hit import. We'll just browse for one of my existing website pieces here. And you can see here that it just pulled all of those settings directly out of our file, which we just download from any one of the websites that we have. Let's just go and do that, actually, because I know this one's not going to work without it. So we'll just download the published profile, save it to the right directory, and away we go. So we'll just import that new one from E. There we go. All right. So this is where we actually go in, and if we have some databases that are sitting within there, which we don't, but that's what the linked resources are for in the portal. So if you actually hook up a database or if you do custom create and you actually attach a database to it, this dropdown would fire off here. And you can actually set those pieces up. Now, if you're using code-first migrations, you can also check this checkbox next to it, which will enable code-first migrations. And this will go ahead and automatically deploy out those changes to your database. So I'm just going to hit next. And what this has done is it's actually gone out and created a pub.xml file for us. So I'm just going to close this dialog box, and we'll say yes, we'll save the changes. So you can see here that it's actually modified my project. And if I go into properties here, I have a published profiles folder. And this is where it's gone and created that pub.xml file that I need. So if I just open this up, you can see I have a my site web deploy file in pub.xml format. So we'll just go in, open from File Explorer, and grab our pub.xml. Now, because this is a build server, we're actually going to have to go in to our build server and put this alongside on that machine. So let's just go, and we'll connect to my VM that I have running up in Azure. So it's just going to take a second to log in here. And I'm just going to put this in a well-known spot where I can go back and actually reference it from my build script. So I'm just going to go in here. I have a directory called publish profiles. We'll just paste that in there. Shorten the name a little bit. All right. Now we'll go back into our build config. And this is where we need a couple of command line parameters. So what we're going to do is we want to, one, deploy on build. Set that to true. The next thing we're going to have to do is actually set a path off to our pub.xml file. So we have publish setting, and that's in C publish profiles. And my first site. All right, the next thing we need is a password. So this password is something that we downloaded when we actually downloaded our original published profiles file here. So this is my first site. We're just going to open that up and do a quick find. So we'll supply our password. All right, so we've gone in, we've set deploy on build, we've set up our publish settings file, and we've set up our password. So now we're ready to save our build step here. And now we can either go and check something in if we have some pending changes, or we can just go and hit run from here. So this is going to go out, grab our source control from TFS online. So I actually have my handy TFS project here, nerd dinner git. It's pulling this out, and it's going to build our project, build and run our unit tests, and then fire away off into our Windows Azure environment. And that's using MS deploy. So if we go and hit browse, oh no. It looks like I put a colon instead of an equal sign. Nope. All right. All right, unfortunately, it doesn't look like that's going to work. I think what I think I missed there is the need to actually go in and say accept without a certificate. But I only have a couple of minutes left here, so we're just going to have to flip back to slides. All right, so we went through a couple of things today. We went through on how to go out and look at all of the different pieces of our environment within Windows Azure websites. We looked at what the deployment script's actually going to do. Looked at how valuable adding in app settings are to be able to flip between settings within different environments. We've looked at how to automate and actually go and provision those resources that we need to create all of our different multiple environment scenarios. Then we set up continuous delivery with both TFS Online and GitHub. And then the last was we went out to do MS deploy from our build server. Syed has a great blog post that will cover that. But basically, that wraps up the talk. So does anyone have any questions? And if you do have some questions, please use the microphones. It saves a little bit of chatting. But thanks so much for coming out.